Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Welcome to the show. It's 4 minutes after the hour. Bill Arnold with you today. We're going to have so much fun. Vince Miller's in studio. Do you even know that song, Vince?
I recognize
the guitar lick, but you don't know the song.
No, I don't.
Yeah. It's in there somewhere, isn't it?
Yeah, come on, go. What is it?
I'll tell you later.
This is just getting better.
It is.
That's great.
Anyway, Vince wrote a book called 30 Virtues That Build a Man, a conversational guide for mentoring any man. And I love this little book, and it's an easy book to get your hands on and to go through, and it's well laid out, and it gives a lot of meat. And one of the things I wanted to start with today, Vince, is I want to go to Romans 12, 1 to 3. It's a great passage. Appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. The grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, do not think of yourself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. So, how would you define the word conformed? Do not be conformed to this world. What does conform mean?
You know, I think the interesting thing about us as creatures, right, of this earth is that we're constantly conforming to our surroundings. That means we're becoming like them. We're subject to them all the time. And we have to keep in mind that we as a living being are really more a spiritual being than a human being. And we have to kind of fight with conformity to the world becoming like it. And we have to live in a state of mind that's constantly being transformed. The funny part about that text there is the word transformed is compared to or in contrast to the word conformed. And it's one of the words that we know in the Bible as metamorphosis. In fact, it's the same word used of Jesus when he was on the Mount of Transfiguration. He was transformed.
Mm-hmm.
Significant word, meaning that we don't become like the world and take on its form. We're transformed from the inside out, right? And outside in on a consistent basis. In fact, the other words on that page that I think are incredible in Romans are living sacrifice. I mean, that's right. Like the ultimate oxymoron, is it not?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what is a living sacrifice?
Yeah, I mean, how do you do that?
In biblical times, it was killing.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of brutal killing. The sound of killing, the smell of killing. Something was sacrificed on an altar. And then Paul kind of helps us to understand that we're a living sacrifice. We're up on the altar, and we're constantly crawling off of it. And we got to get back on it again.
Mm-hmm.
And then we crawl off it again. And he's giving us a state of understanding in our mind that our mind's got to get back up on the altar continually throughout our life. So
all right.
I love that. I love those words. Those are great.
Took a sip of coffee. I'm enjoying a nice hot cup of coffee here. How would you define the word transformed?
Well, I think it's this whole idea of being completely changed. It's not just this idea of conforming actions or behaviors. It's something deeper than that.
Men can do that. They can phone in the transformation, but sometimes it's not real.
Yeah, you know, it has to kind of, I think the idea is that transformation goes deeper than just behavior modification. We're talking about life transformation, whole life. And if you go back to the beginning of the Bible, God was really concerned about the inclinations of our heart, wasn't he? I mean, inclinations,
mm-hmm.
right? He looked at the heart and saw that the inclinations of our heart were nothing but evil all the time. So this isn't behavior change on the outside. It's not surface change. It's something has to happen deep within each one of us. And yes, we're going to use behaviors to get there, but in the end, the goal is not just behavior change. It's that something in our heart changes. And I think guys struggle with that.
All right. What about the word renewal in that passage? How would you define that?
You know, I would define renewal of the mind, mind being, of course, the object, is this state of mind that moves from one state to a brand new state. It means taking on a new shape of the mind. And the only way to do that is to subject the mind to new truth. And it can't be worldly truth. It's got to be otherworldly truth. And, of course, I believe all that's found in God's Word, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's exactly where we find it, is mm-hmm. right there in the middle of God's Word. We got to be bathing in that Word all the time, right? So I'm waking up in the morning. I'm reading God's Word. I'm meditating on it. I'm allowing that stuff to ooze into me mm-hmm. over time. And hopefully it's oozing out of me at the same time.
I would certainly hope so. Let's take a little break. If you have a question or a comment, we're talking about renewing and transforming and building a man, a conversational guide for mentoring any man, written by Vince Miller, 30 Virtues That Build a Man. If you have some input, we would love to hear from you, 877-933-2484. I've already seen some questions coming in, so we'll address that in just a minute. Thanks for being with me today. We'll take a very short break.
We want to make Jesus our priority every day. And that's the focus of the Faith Radio prayer team this week. We're praying that God would give us the desire to seek Him and to have our eyes open to see His hand at work in our lives each day. We'd love to have you join us in this prayer today and each week as a member of the prayer team. When you sign up, you'll receive a weekly email reminder with a prayer prompt and a scripture verse to encourage your faith. Just go to myfaithradio.com/prayer. Thanks.
A recent study showed that we touch our cell phones 2,617 times per day. A few of those touches can make a real positive difference in your life when you use the free Faith Radio app. You can download the app by searching for Faith Radio in iTunes or Google Play, then start listening to the live stream or past programs right away. The free Faith Radio app. Download it to any connected device today.
Never interrupt banjo music. Thanks, Rebecca. I love that. Welcome back to the show. Bill Arnold in studio with Vince Miller. He's written a book called 30 Virtues That Build a Man, a conversational guide for mentoring any man. So we're taking calls from listeners. I've got one that says, do you see a problem with the trend towards the dissolution of traditional gender roles within our society, especially as it pertains to the church?
Yeah.
Trickier in the church, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, I think, of course, you know, the church would assume that I think that the Bible is true. And I think there are people mentioned in the Bible, of course. And I think the challenge is really understanding what does true manhood look like? What does true womanhood look like? Are they radically different from each other? And then what does God teach are the boundaries of those roles and mm-hmm. relationships and how do they work and how do they function? And I think that's a huge conversation. It seems like a simple answer, but in society today, it's become a major dialogue, hasn't it?
It has. And I already misspoke. I meant to say it's trickier in the world. It's not trickier in church. In church, we know what God's Word says.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I didn't want to misspeak.
Yeah. We're having problems with speaking, right?
Yes, we are.
Yeah. So, you know, I think God lays out all these boundaries. He tells us exactly how to live life at its absolute best. He gives us instructions for how to do it. He gives us covenants that he wants us to live by. And I think the challenge is to really accept the truth about what he has for our roles and how those work in relationship to things like government, church, marriage, et cetera. And I think this is a great challenge that we're tackling today in society, and how to love people that maybe don't share our exact views is becoming the greater challenge.
Mm-hmm. Vince, we're talking about Romans 12, 1 to 3, about renewing, offering your body as a living sacrifice. Let's start a dialogue about how men, women too, but mm-hmm. especially men, they need to pay attention to self-discipline. They need to pay attention to the desires of the flesh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I said it.
You know, I think that men really, I think the greatest problem that men have is this propensity for apathy, and it's really not a propensity. It's just a sense of honest laziness in our faith. And I don't mean this lightly. I don't mean to offend anybody, but because I predominantly work with men in the church and culture today, I see this sense of apathy in the male heart more than any other place. And I think God has given us an opportunity to step out of that, to move, to get our faith in motion. And I think this challenge of fighting that impulse and that sin and that desire of the flesh to just allow it to be intoxicated with the things of this world is very difficult for men. And I also think that the challenge of trying to figure out how to get that moving is hard. That's why I created this book, is to create conversation around the Bible in a very simple way that gets a man started in the conversation of his faith. And I think men want to have these conversations, but often don't know how. And I think that's how we fight with the flesh, the desires of the flesh, right?
Yeah. What is the root cause of apathy in men today?
There's
got to be a root cause.
Yeah. You know, I always go back to Genesis 3 when I go to root causes, right? I always go back and I look at Genesis 3 almost as a literal example, but a metaphorical example of what happens in daily life. Here's woman on the scene. Now, woman is here, right, Rebecca? She's here on the scene. She's having, and I'm glad you're here because I want you to interact with this.
Resident woman?
Check. Yeah, she's there. And, you know, woman is in the garden. She's having a conversation with this serpent. I know it's unusual. It's talking gecko, but we've seen him on TV before,
right.
So it's okay.
All right.
So she's having this conversation. Probably not the first time she's had a conversation with this serpent, right? Probably not. And as she's engaging, man is sitting on the sidelines and he does nothing and he says nothing. I just find that super unusual. I think that is staple man of the world right there, especially when he was empowered with a lot of authority and he was given a single moral commandment. It wasn't a dozen. He was only given one. Don't eat of the tree. And then the whole situation just happens to him for some reason. I think the root cause there is this apathetic impulse to do nothing about our faith. And I believe that God has called me to motivate men away from that apathetic impulse when they feel that God is stirring them or moving them toward living out their faith. In fact, I believe throughout the entire Bible, God had been seeking a man who would stand in the gap before him on behalf of the land that he would not destroy it, Ezekiel 22:30, right? Mm-hmm. He was looking for one, and we see these depictions of man over time, small little glimpses, but then not until Jesus do we see ultimate man fighting apathy with impeccable character.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, I think God provided the perfect specimen of man.
Yeah. All right, ladies, chime in. We want to hear from you. We want to hear how the men in your life are doing. What you does this resonate with you? Did we miss the mark? Is your man not apathetic at all, and he's just completely wonderful? We want to know about him. Let's learn. 877-933-2484 is the number. You can also text us at that number, 877-933-2484. I always say you got to say it three times, 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. It's 19 minutes after the hour, and Vince Miller's in studio with me. He's written a book called 30 Virtues That Build a Man, and we're talking about just that. And if you have a question or a comment, we'd love to hear from you. I see someone just called already. So I think because I've invited the ladies especially to chime in and say, what is it about that you're hearing that you'd like to comment on or correct us on or encourage us on? We'd love to hear from you. 877-933-2484. I want to give Vince a chance to say that number as well.
877-933-2484.
You forgot the hyphen part. 877-933-2484.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
Got it.
See,
okay,
you're an
next
amateur.
Time.
You're an amateur. I can't control that. All right, Rebecca, you have a question?
Oh my goodness. So many. Nothing. I'm just figuring out how guys interact, and it's a fun experiment for me. You mentioned apathy, Vince, and that that's kind of one of those age-old struggles that maybe guys specifically struggle with. And so I kind of wonder about the flip side of that, which is the high standards or expectations that maybe we don't feel like we live up to. And again, maybe this is everyone, but specifically for men, it almost seems like those are the two extremes, right? Apathy is doing nothing, but then there's this almost innate, conscientious awareness that I'm supposed to do something big. My life is supposed to mean something. I want to go be the conquering hero at something. But is there a fear there that maybe is keeping men from trying because maybe they're afraid of failing? And is that where the apathy might come in?
Yeah, you know, I think there's all kinds of fears. And I'll tell it inside of a story. How about that? I think this will be descriptive of it. I think men are looking for convergence is what I call it. It's convergence of like this inner voice and calling from God and kind of their wiring. I think they're also looking for how that plays out in their vocation, their family, their life, their church life, so they can have great victory while they're here. I call it coming into the end of life, sliding into home, right? Like every guy I think wants that to some extent, right? Mm-hmm. So here's the story and here's how it goes. So about 6 years ago, my wife was having a discussion with me, and we were talking about transitioning from a very large mega church in town that I was working at to kind of doing my own thing, which was writing and speaking and leading this ministry called Resolute. And I remember she took me out to dinner and was really kind of pushing me to do this. And then I said to her, this makes absolute no sense at all. I said, why would both of us be self-employed? Because she's self-employed and then I would be self-employed. That makes no financial sense whatsoever. And she said back to me, I think you really need to pray about it. And I said, I think you're crazy. In a very respectful way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I don't want you to think I'm actually calling her crazy, but I said, I think you're crazy to even suggest this.
Why are your eyes all bugged out right now?
Yeah, because I don't want her to, I don't want her listening to this and pointing the finger. Like, but you know how she responded to that? Rebecca, here's what she said. She said, Vince Miller, I am not crazy.
Nice.
And then she said, and you're going to do this and you will not fail.
Oh,
wow.
And I was like, holy smokes.
Wow.
Well, you know what that did? It brought out something in me that I think God wanted to bring out of me. He took a voice of a woman and moved me from being apathetic, indifferent, living in inaction, and moved me. And I got to tell you, when you get a man of God moving, awesome things happen. And I'm not just talking about myself. I'm just talking about anybody. And I believe this is true for women and men. But we got to fight that indifferent impulse, that apathetic impulse that we have to say, I'm not good enough. There's those voices again, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy. I don't have the skill. I don't have the talent. Maybe God is waiting to do something incredible with you, but you sit on the bench and never get in the game, right? You're sitting on the sidelines holding the stones, but you don't run into battle, right?
Mm-hmm.
Against the behemoth giant. So I think that's part of the answer right there. Does that help a little bit?
It does. And I think as women, maybe we want to encourage the men in our lives.
Yeah.
But
shame and guilt works too. Yeah.
That's what we're afraid of, is that it'll actually backfire in some way. Yeah. So hearing the ways that we can encourage without it just seeming like we're beating up. We're
right.
Just another negative voice.
Right.
We don't want to do that.
Well, let me add to it, too, that there was something about the strength of her shame and guilt, of course, which was so powerful to me. So powerful. But there was also something about my own willing heart to take that shred of truth and go, she was right. And you know what? It's been 5 years. She's right. I should have done this. This is awesome. Look, I'm sitting here with you great people right
mm-hmm.
now. And, you know, just my wife spurred me on. And that's what I needed to get off the bench and get into the game.
You went out into the world in strength because of what she said to you.
Yeah, and I felt I heard God's voice. And I will tell you, I did pray about it for the next few days, and this is a little bit transparent here, but I prayed about it persistently for the next few days. I spent some time in repentance, not just ordinary repentance, serious repentance, and I felt like I heard God say to me, now, I don't know how some of the listeners will take this, but I felt like I heard God say to me, if you don't do this, I'm going to punish you. And I was like, okay. So with the voice of God for my wife and the voice of God, I think, stirred me enough to do something about it. And ever since then, I have lived completely different in my spiritual life, taking risks that I never would have taken before. Hmm. So
nice. So when I think of the apathy, the comment you made, we've been talking about apathy a little bit, and I think of watching sports on TV, and there's that moment, and all the guys listening will get this, I think, where somebody hits like a double in baseball and they drive in two runs, and there's that guttural, raw scream when the guy gets to second base, like, we're doing it. And there's that emotion that says, I am alive. And it is working. And I think guys go to their jobs and they're dead inside because that's a little bit of what they want. And they don't know how to get that. Mm. That's elusive.
You know, I meet guys like that all the time. In fact, I will say this is the conversation I have more than any other, is a guy who feels stuck, right? He just feels emotionally stuck. He feels spiritually stuck. And he doesn't know how to move from here to there. He just doesn't know how to do it. And I think that there's answers in God's word for that.
Yeah, I've got a caller. We're just going to have time to get the question in, I believe. And then we'll probably have to answer the question after the break. Abby's calling from Apple Valley. Hello, Abby. Welcome to the show.
Hi. I was kind of hoping you wouldn't say my name because I wouldn't want my husband to know I'm doing this.
I'm sorry. You don't have to ask then. I'm so sorry.
Oh, no, that's okay.
Yeah. Nice to have you on the show, Louise.
No, thank you. I really enjoy the conversation you're having because all my life I've struggled with being attracted to gentle, sweet, kind people, at least on the outside. And then sometimes they turned into liars. And sometimes, this was before I was a Christian. And then even after I was a Christian, my husband that died was a liar, even though I didn't know it. And there's a lot of things. And now I'm with a wonderful husband, but of course I'm scared to death because I've had such bad experiences with men that it's hard for me to trust them, you know. And I guess this thing about passivity, well, to me, the passive part of men that bothers me the most is how they don't want to deal with emotions. They don't want to talk about them. They don't want to, you know, express them necessarily. And it's sort of like they're protecting themselves that way. And I don't think that works.
Yeah, that's a wonderful question. And because we're up against a hard break, we need to go away in about 25 seconds here. But we will talk about that after the break. So I think we got
I wish I wish I could hear you. I have to go to work right
okay.
now.
Okay. Well, you can check the podcast out, myfaithradio.com, and you can hear what we say after work. How's that?
I will do that.
Thanks so much. Have a great day.
Do that.
God
Thank
bless you. Yep.
Bye.
We'll take a short break and be back with more with Vince Miller in just a minute. You're listening to us discuss building a man. Be back in a minute. Men are a strategic force for change in the world, but they have an enemy, and it's not what you think. It's apathy. That's what we're talking about today with Vince Miller. He grew up in the Bay Area, but now lives in the greater Twin Cities of Minneapolis/St. Paul, and he's in studio with me today. And I thought Louise had a wonderful question about men and their passivity when it comes to their emotions. They just don't want to deal with stuff. I don't know if men are equipped to do that.
Yeah. I know. It's tough, isn't it? I think men have been kind of patterned by the world. There we are conformed again to what masculinity looks like, what manhood looks like, what machismo looks like. And unfortunately, it doesn't look like a guy who's often transparent and authentic. That can't possibly be what a man looks like. Can it, Bill?
No, it can't.
Yeah. So anyway, I think that's where it gets all kind of squirrely in the Bible, right? Like, so Jesus comes as the ultimate man and shows us a completely new way to live life. And he's very real. He's very truthful. I would say he's very transparent about the relationship that he has with his father. It's very loving, mm-hmm. right? And because of that love relationship that he truly has with his father, he lives that out with other people. And he can be strong in situations he's called to be strong, and he can be soft and loving when he needs to be soft and loving. So if he's confronting a Pharisee that is a little belligerent and wants to debate the word, and he gets a little stronger with him. But when he's sitting next to the woman at the well, he's compassionate, he's loving, he's honest, and he does the unusual. He breaks all cultural boundaries, and he walks in and almost swoops this woman off her feet. Mm-hmm. And then she leaves changed forever because she's experienced God for the very first time, because no one would allow her to experience God because she was a Samaritan, right? Mm-hmm. So, and I think that we don't see God that way. And I think, you know, because I've sat in so many groups with men, I can tell you that they come guarded, but if you can get them to understand what it looks like to talk about something other than sports, right, other than politics, other than the frustrations that they have at work, that they begin to kind of have a dialogue about the inner self, about the inner man. And, you know, honestly, we're just not taught how to do that in most of our homes. Mm-hmm. We're not.
It's a big problem, too, isn't it, Vince?
Mm-hmm.
Another caller wrote in and said, my husband struggles with apathy in his spiritual life. It's a battle for all of us, of course. But she said, as leader of our home, my husband does not feel comfortable doing this. So if you don't take a spiritual leadership, I think the home could suffer. He reads his Bible every day, but he has the fear of not doing it perfectly. Ouch.
Yeah. Exactly.
Ouch. Yeah.
Exactly. So, yeah.
That's how you start your day.
Exactly.
But she believes in her husband and, you know, loves him very much. So that's a good
mm-hmm.
thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So men just so quickly disqualify themselves, don't they? That's that voice we mm-hmm. talked about earlier, Rebecca. I think, you know, we sit there and we disqualify ourselves because we think we're not good enough, or we're not holy enough, or we're not educated enough. And I think this is the ultimate enemy of the church and the kingdom, of building a new church, new families, new homes, new men mm-hmm. in our world today. And we've got to, like my wife pushed me, we got to gently push, sometimes be a little stronger, our men to get off the bench and into the game. And I feel like God's called me to do that. I just want to encourage guys to do that. Like, if you're listening today as a man, I would encourage you to do something outside of your comfort zone in your home. I mean, I
what
do
would that
it
be,
every
Vince?
Day.
Yeah, give me a,
okay,
give
so
me a
here's,
specific.
Here's something that I do. Okay, so every day I write the Dad's Daily Devo.
Okay.
Every morning. Every morning I send a text to my wife, my oldest daughter, middle child, and youngest son. And I included my daughter's boyfriend on it, too. Mm-hmm. He actually said yesterday he's really enjoying them.
Yeah, so he says.
Yeah, so he
so
says.
He says.
He smiled. He,
yeah.
He did the Eddie Askel with me.
Oh, I bet he did.
He's listening right now,
yeah.
So I hope that he... So, you know, I do that daily because I feel like, you know, God has called me to do that. My wife also encouraged me to do that at the same point. It was like, you know, hey, engage in some form of spiritual leadership of the family. Just try something. Your daily devos may not be all that great. It doesn't really matter. It just matters that you did something,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, start with prayer at the table. Start with taking your kids out for dates or dinners or special moments. I took my son golfing the other day.
Mm-hmm.
It was an amazing golf experience. We tied. Perfect bogey golf, but it finished in this beautiful note. And we had these conversations about sports this year, about relationships, about his goals as he's moving on into college. I mean, it was awesome, but we don't lead our family spiritually by accident. It's not going to happen.
That's true.
Jesus never did anything by accident. Everything that Jesus did was intentional.
How are men doing in terms of spiritual leadership in their households?
Mm.
What do you hear on the circuit?
You know, I hear exactly what this person texted and said. Most of the time, I think I hear so many women longing to be led. And I'm talking about healthy spiritual leadership. I'm not talking about dictatorial or authoritative. Why am I having a trouble saying
authoritative?
Authoritative leadership in the home. I'm mm-hmm. talking about kind of this humble servant leadership that says, come with me,
mm-hmm.
right? That kind of come with me and join with me in this. And you know what? It may not go perfect the first time. That's okay. So lead a devo at dinner. Sing a song. I used to do this when my kids were really young. I used to pull out a guitar and try to strum worship songs to my kids as they fell asleep. And then I made up these songs, you know, for them and everything, and they used to laugh and giggle. And it was an amazing experience. I mean, I have a picture of me with my daughter doing this when she was very young.
Are they in therapy?
Yeah. Right now? Pretty much, yeah. I've scarred them. It's pretty much spoiled them.
So it can be very simple things. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be just a way to get started.
Mm-hmm.
It's real easy to send out a little text message or say, let's pray a second time tonight before we all go our separate ways.
Yeah. Yeah. Dates, songs, music, devotionals, reading from scripture. Mm-hmm. Even if they don't listen, it matters.
Of course. Even
if they don't listen, it matters. I mean, just open up God's word and read through one book in the next week. Make it a short one. Make it Philemon.
Yeah.
It's only got one chapter. Just read through it.
Was not your experience growing up, was it?
No, it was not my
experience
growing up.
You had kind of a tragic experience,
if I
remember.
Yeah, you do remember correctly. I grew up in an atheistic home, agnostic mother, atheistic father, had exactly the opposite until as a teenager I moved into my grandfather's home who was a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I started sneaking the Bible from the shelf, you know, and started learning from God.
What did Grandpa do? What was his little...
You know,
contribution.
You know, it was not, and it was not little. It was significant. I mean, I witnessed prayers at the dinner table, very simple, mm-hmm. short prayers. I witnessed him reading the Bible daily. And as he got older, the Bible got bigger and bigger and bigger. You know, I mean, it just got really big. And he used to read it. I witnessed him pray faithfully in mm-hmm. his lazy boy chair with his eyes closed.
Wow.
All the time. And
that's so sweet.
You would think
what an image.
You would think that he was actually sleeping, but he was really praying. And I was really disturbed when I interrupted. He's like, I'm praying right now. You know, it's like, I was like, you've been praying here for like an hour? He's like, yeah, I've been praying for an hour. You know, that's the kind of guy he was. And mm-hmm. I witnessed these things from him. And it was an incredible model that kind of washed over me in my life. And it's not rocket science, man. It's simple things.
Yeah. Lessons are better caught than taught, right?
I think in some cases, and then eventually we got to catch them and do them, right? We've got to apply them to our own life. We got to mm-hmm. do it on our own. So, mm-hmm.
Vince Miller is my in-studio guest, and we're obviously talking mostly about men, but we really would like to hear from you ladies if you have observations about the idea that men are suffering from apathy. Are we apathetic? Have we gotten to that point where it's apathy? And if it is... Maybe you could give us a call or a text, 877-933-2484. Vince, you want to give that number?
Yeah, 877-933-2484.
Yeah, and that can be a phone call
or
a text message. So that would be one of two options. And you can also email me, bill@myfaithradio.com. All right, Vince, let's talk about what men value. Because, you know, let's face it, if men, they've got a role to do, and they're going to do it.
Yeah, you bet.
And it's going to, you know, do you remember taking trips? I don't know, did you take trips as a kid?
Oh, yeah.
And dad was on a mission, right?
Yeah.
So we're going to get in the car, we're going to do 600 miles today. You know?
Yeah, we non-stop. Like to accomplish things, don't
non-stop,
we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like we're on vacation. We can't stop and see the largest ball of twine on the face of the earth. No, it'll
no one wants to see that, actually,
yeah.
Bill.
I've seen it before, just so you know. I'm deeply offended by that.
Yeah. You know, I think men love, they value things that have immediate satisfaction for them, I think, far too often.
Mm-hmm.
Often this is things like their job or things money is attached to or mm-hmm. things they can accomplish and conquer,
mm-hmm.
like your basement remodel right now.
Right.
You feel like you're conquering that, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, we love to like be the weekend warrior. We love to do things. And I think part of our challenge is we really don't know how to handle the spiritual life thing. Like it doesn't feel like it has this immediate payoff for us.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore it becomes very hard for us to get our fingers on and to understand the value of. And I think it begins with, like you said just a few minutes ago, just these little steps, right? We got to take these little steps along the way.
Mm-hmm. Do men suffer from, we need a lot of affirmation? I mean, do you change the light bulb and then say, honey, come here, look at this. I mm-hmm. changed the light bulb.
You know, I tend to want affirmation in my life. I want people to say that I did a good job because I think it draws out something out of us that affirms us. And because it's affirming to us, we go, wow. Like when my wife says to me, wow, today's Devo was really great. Mm-hmm. It encourages me to write another Devo.
Right.
Or, wow, thank you for taking our son out golfing. Ooh, wow, that fills my banks. And then I tell her about what happened and transpired. It wasn't just about the game of golf. It was about the conversation that Grant and I had through those moments.
I have a caller. Deanna's on the line from Plymouth, Minnesota. Welcome to the show, Deanna. You have a question or a comment for us?
Hi, guys. Yep. It came to me right away when you first said call in, but then you guys were talking and I enjoyed it, so I didn't call in. But my question is, what's a suggestion on a way to motivate men? My husband used to read through the Bible and the yearly Bible every year, and he's kind of quit doing it. In the morning, he's kind of on his phone on Facebook and stuff like that. And I thought, you know, what would be something new, like maybe that Every Man's Battle Bible, which I looked at, and because I'm a female, I don't know how much he struggles with that, but it does say it's every man's battle. So I just was looking for suggestions on new ways to get him back in the Word, maybe.
Great, great comment and great question, Deanna. Vince, go ahead.
You know, thanks for calling in, Deanna. I think that guys really do kind of go through waves of high motivation and low motivation. And it just depends on the season of life. And I would encourage you, first off, to secretly and privately pray for him, that God would motivate him. I mean, I think that that would be profound. You know, I've have women ask me quite often how to do stuff like this. And I say, have you been praying for him, praying for his motivation? Focus that prayer on something specific for him. And then I would just encourage him to start connecting with other Christian brothers. That would be a great next step. Like if there's somebody that you know he looks up to, I would say something like this to him. Why don't you go get coffee with so-and-so? And I think that that would stir something up. Like, yeah, I'd like to get to know him better. I mean, that's the whole purpose of creating this book, 30 Virtues That Build a Man. And this isn't self-endorsement here. This is just an idea of getting guys' faith going, like get them moving. And it can't just be exclusively the Bible. I think it has to be a combo platter of Bible and brotherhood. And when you put those two things together, miraculous, incredible things start happening.
Yeah, awesome. We're going to take a little break. More with Vince Miller in just a minute. I see more callers coming in. LaToya is up next, so we'll be back in just a minute. Vince Miller's in studio with me. Awfully glad that he came by. His book, 30 Virtues That Build a Man, is one I'm holding in my hand. And we're having fun talking about apathy. And I've got LaToya on the line from New Brighton. She's going to jump in with a question. Hi, LaToya.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for calling.
No problem. I was just listening to you guys, and I had a similar conversation with my husband. We're new to Christianity, and I was asking him, you know, why did it appear that he, after surrendering, that he still had a issue with, like, showing that emotion that, you know, when the Holy Spirit hits, and he brought me back to his upbringing, and he stated that, you know, the way he was raised, he was forced to grow up a little sooner than, you know, he wanted to, and he had to take care of his siblings, so he couldn't show those signs of, like, crying, like a man is not supposed to cry, and he's having an issue now with surrendering wholeheartedly. He wants to, but he's still holding on to that upbringing. And I just thought it was interesting when you guys were speaking about that, and I thought, just wanted to share that that could be some things that men are experiencing, especially based on their upbringing.
It's a beautiful, fantastic comment, LaToya. Yeah. Thank you so much for calling. Vince, you have a response to that?
That's incredible. I think the way she said it, too, was so mature. I think
I love my listeners.
Yeah.
Just so you know, Vince.
They're amazing. So a couple of little tidbits. Anecdotal, they'll be anecdotal, but, you know, I play golf once in a while. I don't play as much as I used to. And part of the reason I don't play is I struggle with tendonitis in my elbow now. I got golf elbow. And so I know, yeah, I know.
It's, I don't mean
it's
to
funny.
Laugh.
Yeah, you're laughing because God took a sport away from me. I understand. So anyway, you know, when I touch my elbow right on the point, just even barely with my finger, I mean, just gently touch it, it sends a sensation up my arm to my fingers.
Mm.
And it's amazing. That's called a sensitivity, right? You know, we have the sensitivity. But I think what happens is usually through our childhood and our upbringing for men and women is we develop a non-sensitivity to really God and the spirit, right? We're not sensitive to it. And what we've got to do is we've got to create or remove calluses to create that sensitivity again. So I had this friend who used to be a trainer for the Minnesota Twins, and he used to bring in these young baseball players, right, from the minors to the majors, and then he would bring these pitchers in for a training session, and he would grab their wrists, and he would take a scalpel, and he would remove the calluses from their thumb, index finger, and middle finger. And he said the first time that he would ever do this, these guys looked at him like he was crazy. And he told them, hold still. You can imagine that. So that has become such a powerful visual to me, I think, of what needs to sometimes happen in a man's life. LaToya, specifically, maybe your man, is we need to create a sensitivity again by removing the calluses of the world's thinking where we started, right? Remove those calluses, create the sensitivity so we can grab the baseball again and feel it again. And unfortunately, I think we have to undo all this, these old mindsets that we have about life, and create a new sensitivity to the spirit. And sometimes guys just don't know how to do that, and it takes time to remove these calluses of our youth,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah, renewing sensitivity. That's a great point. I really mm-hmm. like that. That's
yeah.
That's a great point.
Do you like that one, huh?
That's the okay. first thing I've liked today.
I knew it.
Yeah. I was just, Lord, give me one thing I'm going to like today. Yeah. That's all I was asking.
So I'm working through this. I mean, we're working through this, right, Bill?
Uh-huh.
I mean, this is something that as men, hopefully as we mature, we're creating a deeper sensitivity to the Spirit of God.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes time. It's not going to happen overnight, LaToya. It's not going to happen overnight. It's not going to. There's going to be an initial experience with God. Yes, this is where we call him Lord and Savior. But there's going to be all these issues over time that God is going to resurrect. And I think you just need to keep praying for your man.
Mm-hmm.
Keep praying for him.
Yeah. Got a very interesting email from a listener, avid listener. I love this. And it's not a question as much as it is just something I found very interesting. He was talking about manhood. He said, 74, and I've seen the who I am evolve over many years.
Mm-hmm.
Said, in my teens, I didn't have a very good self-image. In order to deflect people from finding out who I was, I learned just to listen to people. I found out if I asked lots of questions, most people like to talk about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And then high school, degree in engineering, didn't feel like it was his heart's calling, but he got an engineering job, worked for 27 years. Again, he thought the key was paying attention to other people. That's fascinating. Then he was laid off from that job. He went to work for a nonprofit, again, listening to people. Now he's retired, and he volunteers through his church, visiting homeward-bound people. And again, he's listening once again.
Hmm. Man, we're on a journey of understanding our own identity in Christ, aren't
mm-hmm.
we?
Yeah.
It's the never-ending search
mm-hmm.
for who we are. And really, it has more to do with who we follow. This is the part I love about the Apostle Paul in the New Testament, right? He always refers to himself, at least most of the time in each of his letters, as Paul, a servant or slave of Christ. I think that's genius, to be quite honest. I think that's like positive self-talk. Remember how we talked about negative self-talk
mm-hmm.
in his show? I think that's positive self-talk. I think what he's doing is he is finding his identity in Christ above all else. And I think he's actually repeating it to himself so he remembers what shaped his life on that Damascus Road. It is not his education. It was not his career development. It was not his wealth. It was not who he was trained by. He had to lay down even his identity socially, politically, in his education. He had to lay all that down for Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And then he refers to himself as a servant and slave of Christ. That's where it all begins.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's where it all ends.
Mm-hmm.
constant evolution of our identity for the rest of our life.
Have you changed? Has your identity sort of changed? Have you gone through periods of, I think there was a pastor, Lewis Meads, who said, my wife has been married to five different men, all of them me.
That is profound. And I would say, yeah, there's evolutions of who we are, right? I mean, this guy who wrote in who's a little bit more wise than you and I,
oh,
I think
totally.
He's sharing some wisdom as he looks back over time and saying, you know what? Draw a circle around myself and begin to understand who this man is. And if this man can fall subservient to the lordship of Jesus Christ, then everything else falls in order, right? Start praying for everything inside the circle. Start leading everything inside of the circle and allow that man to be shaped by God Almighty. Everything changes.
Mm-hmm. So can we come up with some solutions for apathy?
Yeah. Why not?
I mean, I'm kind of, do we have energy to do that?
Why not? Yeah. There should be solutions to apathy.
You jumping in here,
and
Rebecca?
What about when guys are tired? Like, just long days, lots of work. They're trying to put in their best, but when they're just, you know, kind of tired at the end of the day, so now it feels like, okay, I've got my other job, which is to lead my household and to be the spiritual guider and pastor of my household. How do I do all that when I'm putting in 50, 60 hours in the office and come home and I just want to crash?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question, and I think that question is clearly part of the problem. It's where do we find our identity and where we're investing all the time in feeding that identity. Unfortunately, most guys spend all that time feeding their identity at work, absorbed in their career. And I think that, you know, you talk about these different men that we are, right? I think there's a period of life where career is all of us, right? But how many guys have you met who come to the end of their career and say, now I'm going to do something for God? And I go, wait a second. We should have been doing some great work for God over the last 30 years. And by the way, you influenced thousands of people at your workplace. What did we do in those moments? Did we squander them? Did we waste them? Were they not stewarded? You know, like, what about the moments where we live right now? It's about stopping the apathy right now and living in complete surrender to God in everything that we do, so that when we come home, it's not, now I'm giving attention to my spiritual life. It's, I'm waking up and I'm walking into my spiritual life every day.
Yeah. If you, if you're the 1,037th caller, you'll get a copy of Vince's book. And if we don't get that by the end of the show, then I'll just take it home myself. His book is 30 Virtues That Build a Man, a conversational guide for mentoring any man. Do men have goals?
I think so.
Okay.
Spoken and unspoken.
Yeah, that's right? A good point. Yeah. Talk about the unspoken ones.
You know, I think the unspoken ones are the ones that happen to us. Right. Yeah. And I think the actual spoken goals are the ones that we seek to accomplish. And I think that that's some of where all this begins, is beginning to realize that, hey, when we begin with kind of this life leader, Jesus Christ, like LaToya was talking about just a little while ago, everything is now going to be reshaped around new goals and new aspirations. And man, we need to start charging towards those things, right?
Yeah. So would you just ask God to start in you a new thing? What would you do?
Yeah.
What's a good prayer?
I think pray challenging prayers, man. I think we should ask God to say, hey, how do you want to use me, and show me the way to becoming your man? And I promise you, everything is going to change. I promise you, it will. God is going to be faithful to these big, scary, audacious, hairy prayers. If we're willing to pray them, God will do something amazing.
Vince, thanks for coming into the studio. It's been a great manly hour. We're going to close out the show, and then we're going to arm wrestle, so that'll be fun. That's what we do around here. If you want to pass this on to a friend, go to myfaithradio.com. Head over to the podcast, and you can just send the link right to someone that you think would enjoy hearing this, or maybe you missed part of it and you want to hear more. That would be the thing to do. Thanks for listening today. I just love you as a listener, and I love you as a believer in Christ, and I will see you tomorrow, God willing. Have a great evening, everyone. Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at myfaithradio.com.